Our God is omniscient. Our God is all-knowing. Our God knows absolutely everything. That was the message we looked at last week from Psalm 139. This morning we turn back to that same psalm to look at this other attribute of God. That God is not just omniscient, he is also omnipresent. That God has this powerful divine quality of being everywhere with everyone. Something that no one else shares. That's what sets God apart. There's no other God that is true for. But for our God it is. That is part of who he is. That is one of his divine attributes. And Psalm 139 specifically applies this omnipresence as far as his personal presence with human beings is concerned. When you stop to think about it, it really is an incredible thought, isn't it? That God, the creator of the whole universe, would deign to be that close to us. Sometimes we don't like to be that close to us. But God, in all his might and power, has made that promise. I recall a service back in 2011 at Lex Bastion led. And Lex drew our attention to a verse about God's omnipresence that you find in Isaiah 30 and verse 21. And like was applied to Israel, it also applies to us. And the verse says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You hear the voice behind you because he's right there with you. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Yet when you think about it, this is no less than we would expect of a God who we address as Almighty Father. And who Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. For, you know, a God who would only be there for us at certain times or in certain places. That wouldn't be the God revealed in his word. And if we could only make contact with our God when we came to church or went to a temple or perhaps in a particular country or within a set daily time frame, you know, God's open for business between 9 and 5, it'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But it's not like that. Thankfully, God is always closer to each of us than the very air we breathe. And the fact that David described from his own personal experience in Psalm 139. And that's our Bible reading this morning. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. Just a few verses. If you've got your Bibles, you might like to turn to them or follow on the screen. This is what David wrote. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. What a wonderful section of scripture that is, isn't it? You know, at first glance, when you first read those words, it may seem to you that David is trying to get away from God. But that is far from true, as we'll see as you follow it through. You see, David is excited. He is excited at the fact that there is no place he can even think of being where God will not be with him. From the heights of the heavens to the depths, God's presence is there with him. When he talks about rising on the wings of the dawn in verse 9 and moving to the far side of the sea, he is referring to travelling at the speed of the sunlight, speed of light. Yet still the omnipresent God keeps pace with him. For none can outrun God. How true that is. And the reason David is excited about this is, as he points out in verse 10, that God is constantly with him to guide him, to keep him safe with his right hand of mighty power. It's not a kind of sense of God's with me, check up on me all the time from David. Sense God's there to be my help, my assistance, my great and mighty and powerful one. And David, of course, had experienced the reality of that many, many times throughout his life. From his battle against Goliath, where God guided him to trust in stones from a brook rather than the armour of a king. To the numerous times that the deranged King Saul nearly captured David, nearly killed him. There were many, many times. David knew that God was with him. You see, God had sought out David for himself, even as God seeks us out for himself. And David valued that so very much. He valued this connection he had with the awesome God of Israel. And that there was no place where God would not be with him, not one place. It may well be the case, you know, that David's mention of the darkness in verse 11 and 12 is a reference to times when he felt that his sins had cut him off from God. Or his own depression that he suffered from at times and made that separation between him and God. Only to find that God knew all about him all the time. And was beside him still, offering forgiveness and reinstating him to that treasured position that he had as a friend of God. So God is constantly with David. That's what Psalm 139 says. But the question for us this morning, well, does that still apply to me? Does that still apply to human beings today? Of course, the answer is a big yes. God can't stop being what he is. He is still omnipresent. He is still near the heart of every person. But there are so many, and I think particularly in Australia it seems to me, but it's worldwide, there are so many who gain little benefit from God being close to them. Because although he is alongside them to bless them, to protect them, to save them and to keep them, he expects them to respond to him as to their God. Sadly, people aren't responding to God as God today. They may say they believe in a God, but they don't respond to him as God. He might as well be anybody or anything. And God expects that response from people, as you would if you were God. He expects them to respond. And yet many refuse. And many refuse to relate to him as the Almighty One. Okay to have a God if he's very small, isn't it? But to have a God who is great demands a lot from us. And because they don't respond to him as the Almighty God, they won't reach out to him in surrender of their lives to him as to God who loves them. Rather like a person, I reckon, who's got electricity connected to their house but refuses to use it because they don't understand it, perhaps. Or they don't want to pay the costs of using it. Now, you can get by quite well without electricity until it's really hot. But you'll miss out so much on life without God. You think you can get by without God, but you're missing out on so much of that fellowship, the wonder of his presence, the answer he gives to you, to your prayers, and the way he guides you, and the purpose that he has for you in life, that he reveals to you. But especially, of course, without God, you'd be absolutely without hope in the next, which is something which, wow, I couldn't even possibly think about. But you know, having said that, there are even Christians who have a problem sometimes with a God who is too close to them. Too close because they know that God wants them to do something they just don't want to do. People reckon they can hide from God. You ever met anybody like that? You ever been like that? You know, there's plenty of stories in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, of people who thought they could hide from God. Let me give you one. In fact, some comments from this person. See if you can work out who it is, how quick you get there. I'm stuck, he says, someplace where I don't want to be. Been there? I'm absolutely surprised and devastated to find myself here. I didn't think it would ever happen. I know that I only have myself to blame for my current situation. I'm astounded that I'm still alive, but surely death is imminent. I've disobeyed God and ran away, but yet I sense he is with me. So I pray, he hears me, and I'm vomited out onto dry ground. Jonah! You know, are you like Jonah sometimes? Aware that God wants you to walk in a certain manner through life, perhaps, but you're fighting it? Or there is something he is calling you to do that will mean complete trust on your part, and it's so scary to even contemplate, let alone do. Or perhaps it's something he wants you to stop doing, but it's all too hard to contemplate. And like Jonah, you don't want to go along with God's desires. And sometimes you too want to run away from God. So you think about, well, avoiding church, or avoiding Christians, or avoiding the Bible. But you can't get away from God. That's what Jonah discovered. You can't get away from his spirit, says David, or his presence, the two together. In fact, your best response, quite honestly, is to go along with God. Go along with the desires of the ever-present God, because they're good for you, and he will bless you through them. And straight away you decide to make that decision, do what God wants, what happens? He begins to bless you in the most wonderful way, and to encourage you. And you're blessed by this positive impact of God's omnipresence. You see, the wonder of God's omnipresence is that he is constantly with us for our comfort. How glorious a thought that is. He is constantly with us to enable us, to protect us, to guide us, to keep us, and to strengthen us. That is what he wants to be to us all the time. Think of the promise in Isaiah 43, made first to Israel, but as true for us today. I love this promise. But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Obviously, symbols of terrible times when God will be very much with you. Or think what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 14:15-17. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, just like me, to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Amazing statement, isn't it? And then, of course, there's the promise that Jesus made himself about his own ongoing presence with those who follow him and with those who seek actively after the extension of his kingdom. Don't forget that part. And we know it as the Great Commission, don't we? Find it in Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, when I was at Sunday school as a kid, we always used the only version of the Bible we had at that time, which was the King James Version. And I always remember how that promise at the end is, "And lo, I am with you always." Remember that? Even unto the end of the world. And whenever I heard that, it would remind me of a story I heard from New Guinea, from the pilot in New Guinea. The pilot has seen, I think I've got something here from last week, it'll do. Lovely. The pilots in New Guinea have tremendous troubles, the airfields there, because they're some of the worst airfields and runways in the world. And taking off and landing is a real difficulty. And of course, the weather would deteriorate very quickly in those places. And often these pilots have to fly in terrible condition, and they ferry the missionaries from one mission station to another. Sometimes the missionaries, who aren't quite as used to flying as the pilots, get very scared when they have to go in these planes. And on one particular occasion, the pilot was flying, it was a terrible day. You couldn't see because the fog had dropped in and everything else, and the mountains, you knew they were there, but weren't quite sure until you saw them whether you were going to hit them or not. And the missionary was terrified. And the pilot said to him, "Look, you're a missionary. You shouldn't be scared. You know the Lord's with you all the time." He said, "Lo, I'm with you all the time." And the missionary said, "Yeah." He said, "Lo." Didn't that mention anything about being up in the air? Well, the absolutely glorious thing is that God is with us everywhere. Up in the air, down below. And in the very dark places of the soul too. God is there. When we hit the lowest depths, God is there. And in the most joyous moments of life, when we reach the height, God is there. And every place in between, God is there. God is with us. We can't see him. You know what? We won't always sense his presence. I know that. I've known times when I've known God's there, but I haven't sensed him. Doesn't change the fact he's still there. But his promise is this. His promise that he is with us. A promise that he is unable to break, because God is indeed our omnipresent God.